Amen, amen. Praise God. I've got a title here we will have a talk on, and we're calling this teaching, The Word of God Isn't Just For You. The Word of God Isn't Just For You. And I've got a reason why I say this, because often when we are first saved, it's as if God wrote the Bible just for me. I know it was very much like that with me in my early days, being saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything was my name and address on it. It was all for me. But you see, God isn't going to let us stay too long with that mindset, because he's going to teach us his word and show us that the word of God is for the world. And we have to start to grow and mature spiritually. And let us look to 1 Corinthians 14 and verses 20 to 21. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20-21, which says here, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord." Of course, he's using also tongues as a sign, the gift of tongues, which is to be interpreted. But he's saying here, particularly in verse 20, not to be children in understanding. So God expects a level in this life of understanding spiritually the word of God and what God is saying. This is why we teach the deeper life in the spirit, to go on into maturity from the milk to the solids of the word. But sadly, we find that not all really want to go on deeper. We also have the enemy, like a roaring lion, a predator who's going round trying to deceive and disrupt that which we hear. We see this clearly, of course, in the parable of the sower. What does Peter have to tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So he's going around, trying to devour, trying to hinder. And very often, if he can't get at the soul, he'll try and get us by the way we hear. And he'll try and hinder and create obstacles what we're trying to hear. You see, many want the word because they're going through trials or whatever it is, but they want the word to be assured that God loves them. And when we're first saved, we're turning to all these scriptures. We're wanting them there because we're wanting that assurance. We're just not quite sure what God is saying, you see. And that is why in the early days, we simply just make everything for ourselves and the word of God, because we're all the while wanting that assurance. But you know, as we grow and as we mature, we realize then that we're moving on another level. You see, God gives us the Holy Spirit in which to show us the word of God. And it's not only just for us, but it's for the entire world. This is why I said at the beginning that the Word of God is for the world. Man has fallen. He's in a desperate state. And the Word of God and the good news of the gospel is in which to restore us back. It's for our teaching. It's for our admonishing. It's also for our correction. And above all, for our building up in the faith. That is why we make so much around the Word of God, and that we center our lives, our discernment, our hearing from God through the revealed Word of God as the Holy Spirit teaches us. But it's also for our discerning and preparing for Christ's return. This is why I've said so often that we are to test the spirits behind the word that is preached. And people say to me, well, I can't see anything wrong with that teaching. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about he's the Son of God. It's talking about he came and paid the cost for our sin. The discernment has to go a bit further than that, that I alluded to on Sunday. The Holy Spirit has come in which to glorify Jesus. And the question is, in what you hear in the message, what is it doing? Is it glorifying Jesus? Is it lifting him up? Is it building you up in the faith? Is it getting you to believe in the promises of God? Or is it exalting the church that you're following, or the minister that you like? The enemy is very, very good at exalting other things other than the Word of God and Jesus. This is why God speaks to us like he does, not to be carried away with our emotions and feelings. Are you going to place experience above the Word of God? You have to be very careful. We have to be very careful when we speak about experiences. And I'm not against experiencing. We need to experience the Lord. But it isn't going to go contrary to his Word. And my experience isn't going to be above glorifying Jesus. But he is the source. As he says, I am the way, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am. Which means there's no one else. That is the one, that is the source, that is where it comes from. And I hear so much online, on Instagram, Christians carried away with their emotions, their experience, some meeting they went to. Oh, the worship was fantastic. But the question I raise is, where is Jesus in it? They are the things that we are to test. Why am I stressing that? Because Satan is coming like an angel of light. And we have to be ground and rooted in God's word. And this is why faith comes as we hear the word of God. And that's why the word of God is not just for me, but it's for the entire world. The word of God is for the church. It's for FGA and all my brothers and sisters that are in it. It's for our teaching, correction, building us up in the faith. As I've said, it's also that we discern that this word is to prepare us for Christ's return. Every message, every teaching that God brings me under to listen is all preparing me to meet Jesus Christ and to stand before him. Every teaching is that important. It is preparatory in nature. It is pointing me to eternity. The Word of God is giving me that stand before Him so that as I pay the cost, as I hear the Word, I have that assurance that I will stand confidently before Him on that day, which we all will, to give an account. And He's going to reveal those, what were you doing when I was speaking to you? Did you take it seriously? Did you take it away and pray about it? And so on. You see, this is how we grow in the Lord. Let's turn to a few scriptures. For example, Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints, to work for our ministry, to edify the body of Christ that I've been baptized into, till I come to the unity of the faith. I come to a knowledge of the Son of God, that God works perfection in me, that measure, that stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." Notice what the apostle says, and that is prevalent in Christendom. Plotting, deceiving, they're crafty. But speaking the truth in love, then you grow up in all things under Him who is the head, that is Christ. And so it goes on. You know it well. But here is such a clear analogy of how the Word of God isn't just for me, but it is for my brothers and sisters. It is for ministry. It is for the church that I'm identified with. This is bringing me under the headship of Christ and not a man. That is what's so wonderful about all of this. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification." There we are. Not just for me, but I come ready to minister. And if we're truly taking in the Word of God, then we see what God has placed within me helps to edify and build my brother and sister in the faith. You see, God has to deliver us from our struggling for survival. We shouldn't have that survival spirit within us that the world has. Our lives now are hid in Christ. He is our life. We live by His life, His power that is in us. Therefore, worry and anxiety and all these things that the world is held by has to go because it hinders your faith. And it's a huge problem. I was ministering only this morning to someone with this very problem, fear and anxiety that's opened the doors. And as a result, this Christian has developed shingles badly. Anybody knows anything about shingles? It's related to stress, worry, anxiety. This is why in the book of Revelation to the seven churches in Asia Minor, there are seven admonitions to the churches. And each of them, as you know, it ends with, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. The word is also to bless us in seeing the greatness of God, the greatness of his plan in redemption for the future. Our prayers, intercessions being answered, working blessing, healing, deliverance, salvation. We have to allow the Spirit to broaden our horizon, to see how great and mighty our God is. But of course, when we're first saved, we don't see that. We're totally consumed in ourselves. And this is why the Lord presented the cross to believers, that they too must take it up daily and follow. Because then the cross that we bear reveals resurrection. And resurrection was not only an experience that our Lord experienced and rose from the dead, but it also reveals the greater plan and mightiness of God in redemption. It enables us to see. I can tell you, if you really want to see, you want to really understand the kingdom of God, it always comes by your cross that you take up. As Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's about the will of God. It's about obeying him, yielding to the Spirit. And we're not very good at that. Jesus' blood was shed for the world, for all those who believe upon him, not just for you or me. As grateful as we are. And when we begin to understand this, then we get this unction, anointing, a power in which to want to share the good news of the gospel. And that we want to warn as many as possible that without Christ, it is the lake of fire and brimstone, eternal punishment. We can't even begin to comprehend what that will be like. And so when we start to get delivered from ourselves and see everything of the Word of God just for me, then we start to become outward looking and we're of use then, and God can start to use us and to proclaim this good news, to go out and make disciples, as the Bible says. What does 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 say? 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So we're called to be a blessing. Sorry, I was reading the 2 Peter. That sounded quite appropriate, actually. Sorry about that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So thank God that he is long-suffering, patient. But we should never take advantage of that and always be ready to be used, to give an account, to be able to share the good news of the gospel, and so on. And so we find then very clearly that this word that we are learning is not just for me. My salvation, my forgiveness is in Christ. Christ didn't die just for me. He died for the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, as John 3:16 tells us. God so loved the world. I am part of the world. I come out of the world. The one that God did love, Israel, his son, rejected him. Remember that we are, as Gentiles, only grafted in. So therefore, how much more should we be grateful and thank him and praise him, as he didn't have to do it? So we really then begin to realise, as we are maturing and growing in the faith into sonship, that all these promises that I see are not just for me. When you can get delivered from that, then these promises that you stand on, these promises that are for you, you also can pray those promises for your brother and sister and those who go through much trial and tribulation. There is much prayer that is needed at the moment. We need desperately to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are going through horrendous persecutions, particularly in Nigeria and Ethiopia, where Muslims are attacking them, butchering them, slaughtering them. Very little of that ever comes out in the news. I just had an email today, brother, this is in Pakistan. Please stand with us against the Muslims who want to destroy us Christians. I've heard that they're now setting on fire Christians' properties. Some of the Christians have been burnt alive inside them by Muslims. Do we hear about that? No. Slave labour with the children where they make bricks in the kilns as young as three. Out making those bricks, out in that searing heat. A lot of them are orphans, don't have parents. Christians are badly treated out in these countries, and we should stand in the gap and intercede and come against these demonic forces of Islam that's trying to take over the world. It's trying to take over in this country. But politicians are as blind as can be. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. These are powers, principalities, and God has given us authority over them. He said, it's done, it's finished. Satan is under my feet, and he's given us his name in which to put him to flight. You see, but we don't do it because we're still seeing the word of God is just for me. We're inward looking, selfish. It cannot be any longer. It's time to grow more into maturity, to take on these burdens and intercessions. Here am I, use me, Lord. That's what Isaiah heard. He overheard the Lord. And it's the same with us. When we hear the word of God, and when we hear the heartbeat of God coming out in his word. Here I am, Lord, use me. That's how you grow as a Christian. That's where I am spiritually, in ministry and everything, because I've said that. I'm hearing it, Lord. Here I am, use me. And he does the rest. We have a great problem in Christendom. I see it all the time in writings and everything. Christians are so consumed in themselves. Poor me, what I'm going through, my trials, and I'm not dismissing them. They are real. But they're missing the whole point, what the trials are to do in delivering us from self. That is what it's for. And that's why faith likes trials. It's made stronger with trials. What for? So that you can ask and believe. That's what. Not for yourself all the time. Jesus said, put the kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. We're not to take thought about any of that. And yet we do. We're still consumed about it. Oh, how am I going to pay these bills next month? This bill this month was so much, we haven't got enough money to buy food or whatever it would be. So don't take thought. Don't get anxious. He's going to feed. He's going to provide for those needs. Why? So that you can start growing up and maturing and see a bigger world out there than yourself and your needs and what I'm going through. You know, God is really challenging self-pity in the house of God. I'm not the only Christian that's highlighting this. There are a few, I read, who are really exposing self-pity, selfish nature. It's a huge problem. You see these videos, they get and want to talk about the Lord and everything. Much of what you hear half the time is about themselves, promoting themselves, their self-ego. This is why we have to be very discerning, brothers and sisters, as I close with this, in these closing days, because the enemy is coming like an angel of light, that if it were possible, even the very elect can be deceived. Where is Jesus in everything I hear? I do, my teaching, my fellowship, everything. My life should be consumed with only one person, and that is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who's come to dwell, reside, and live in me, because I have been purchased with a great, great price. It's a mockery when we don't acknowledge that. It is so disrespectful. And that's why he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Sadly, the enemy is coming like an angel of light. Jesus said he would in the last days. And that's why much of the world will be deceived when the Antichrist finally comes on the scene. They will be deceived. But there we are. I had a privilege today as I close. I'll give a small testimony. There was something come up about the Turin Shroud. I'm sure most of you know it. He was supposed to be the shroud, the cloth that was laid over Christ when he was put in the tomb. And it's supposed to have an impression of him and his face. I know that's a counterfeit. That is a work of the enemy. How do I know? Because I know what the Word of God says. It says in Exodus 20 verse 4, you will not make an image of me, a God out of me. It says also in Colossians that we worship the invisible God. God isn't going to go contrary to his word. And of course, this came up in dialogue. And one man responded to what I said, using those scriptures, that this is nothing more than idolatry. And I know probably the Roman Catholics are behind all of this, pushing this. Ah, but it could well be him and everything. So I explained from the scriptures. And he was quite knowledgeable in the word. And he was open to be taught. And he said, after several writings and sharing, I see. He sees it. And what I think did it was that would he like a photo of himself put up online that's gone viral that isn't actually of him? Would he like that? I think that's probably what spoke. So why should we do that with God? You see, God gives the opportunities. If we know the word of God, if we have the sword of the Spirit, we are able to divide the works of darkness, as Jesus did in the wilderness. It's imperative in these days now that we live. But you will never, ever begin to do that if you're always centering the word of God just on yourself. It's far greater and far bigger. And then you're able to use the word of God, like today, to set people's minds free that are held in deception. And it's so wonderful. That's what encourages, and how we see that God is saving and bringing in a remnant. And he always does it through his word, because as he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, there we are. We've been talking today. The word of God isn't just for you. Praise God. I trust you've been blessed.